As we've been discussing, the relationship of Kibrava Im is slightly different from other relationships in that we acknowledge that there are sort of two levels going on here. There is the level of practical, that in the day-to-day, what do you have to do for your parents? But we also talked about the fact that there is sort of a metaphysical level that is above what you're doing in the everyday, that's not about just feeding them and clothing them and giving them to drink, but rather it's about developing and cultivating an attitude towards them that we discussed is part of the nature of the relationship, that we view our parents not only as our family members, but also as the partners with God in our creation. So that therefore gives them a higher status and also puts us in a position of tremendous hakaras hatov to them. So going along with that idea that there is much more to the relationship between parents and children than simply any other interpersonal relationship, that when I decide to show respect to you on the street, it is inherently different from the respect that I show to my parents, we can understand the question that we will be addressing today. And the question that we will be addressing today is, what is your requirement to honor your parents after their death? So as I said, this is different from any other interpersonal relationship, because imagine I said to you, what is your requirement in not stealing after someone else is alive? You would say, stealing is about possessions. If someone is not alive, they no longer have possessions. Therefore, how can I be telling you, like, why would I be telling you not to steal from someone after their death? But the question here of how are we required to honor our parents and how are we required to honor our parents after their death is one that makes sense, because we understand that there is so much more to this relationship than simply the actions that we perform between one and another. So let's begin with the Gemara. The Gemara in source number 39, Masecha Kedusha Lamed Aleph Daf Bet. Amud Bet, sorry. Tinu Rabbanan. So this is going to address our question, are we obligated to honor our parents after their death? So Tanu Rabbanan, Mechabdo B'chayav. You are obligated to honor your parents in their life. U'mechabdo B'moto. And you are also obligated to honor them in their death. B'chayav Ketzad. So how are you meant to honor your parents when they are alive? Hanishma b'davar aviv l'makom. Lo yomar, shlachuni b'shvil atzmi, maharuni b'shvil atzmi, pitruni b'shvil atzmi. So the Gemara is giving us a very specific situation, not the same that we've been discussing previously, where we said like ezahu kibud, which is giving them to drink and giving them to eat and clothing them. Rather, the Gemara is talking about a specific situation here. And it says, how do we respect our parents in their life? And it tells us a story. It says there was one time a son that was sent on a mission by his father. So he listens to his father's words and he goes to this faraway place. When the son is in that place, he should not say, Shlachuni b'shvil atzmi, send me back for my own good, or maharuni b'shvil atzmi, or let's speed this up for myself, or pitruni, or set me free for myself. Ella, kulhu b'shvil abba. He recognizes that he is on this mission because of his father, and therefore anything that the son should say in relation to the mission should be about his father, that it shouldn't be send me back for my own well-being. Rather, it should be send me back for my father's well-being. Bimoto ketzad. So that's the Gemara's example of how we honor our parents in their life, that we connect all situations, everything that we give credit for, we credit it back to our parents. So now the Gemara goes on and says, "Bemoto ketzad." So how do we honor our parents in their death? Haya omer davar shmua mipiv. If you are saying something that you overheard from your parent, lo yomar, you shouldn't say, kach amar abba, this is what abba said. Ella, rather, you should say, kach amar abba mori, harini kaparat mishkavo. You should say, this is what my father, my teacher, told me, harini kaparat mishkavo. I should be an atonement for his final resting place. Rashi explains here and says, Alai yavo kol hara'oi lavo al nafsho. Allow to come upon me all of the negative that was meant to go upon my father. So you're saying, let me be the kapara, let me be the recipient of all of the bad that was meant to go to my father. He has now passed on. Do not let it rest on him. Please allow it to fall on me instead. This is within the first 12 months after the death of your parents. Mikan ve'ilach omar, from then on, you should say, Zichrono levracha l'chayei ha'olam haba. You should say, his memory should be a blessing for now and for the world to come. So practically, what is the Gemara telling us? The Gemara is telling us that when your parent is alive, you can do things for your parent. You can attribute things to your parent. They are still present in this world. But what can you do for your parent in terms of showing respect once they have passed on? What you can do is you can acknowledge them in your speech, and you can give kavod, in essence, to their neshama, that you should attempt in any way that you can to daven for the well-being of their neshama in the world to come. So that means when you hear something for your father, the Gemara says, within the first 12 months, you should say, Harini kaparat av mishkavo. I should be a kapara for him. I should take upon myself all the bad that could potentially come upon him. Please allow it to fall upon me instead. And if it is after the first 12 months after the death of a parent, you should say, Zichrono levracha l'chayei ha'olam haba. You should say that his memory should be for a blessing, that we're no longer within the 12-month period of judgment. We say that there is this period of judgment, which is why we say the Kaddish for the first 12 months, 11 months, because we only say a full Rasha would need 12 full months, and therefore we would never want to imply that our parent was a Rasha, and therefore we have the custom to stop at 11 months. But we do that out of a show of kavod, that we are showing that anything that could occur to our parents within those first 12 months, we want to fall upon us. And once we are outside of that period of judgment, we say Zichrono Levracha, that his memory should be for a blessing. The footnote here in footnote number 19 tells us that also what is considered to be Kibbud Av Va'Im post a parent's death, many of the inyanim that we think of, as we just mentioned, Kaddish, giving tzedakah, which is really the point of saying Yisker, the custom of showing minhagei avilos for almost a full year, all of these things are a byproduct of Kibbud Av Va'Im. That these are not truly, the avilos process really is focused on our direct mourning. So it's the days of Aninos, Shiva, Shloshim, and then slowly throughout the year, we know that we have sort of a lessening of the avilos. But a lot of the minhagim that we maintain throughout the year, those are signs of kavod. Those are davening from the Amud. Those are giving tzedakah. Those are showing the minhagei avilos. All of these things are things that we do in order to show the proper respect to our parents, even after their death. So there is the unanimous conclusion that we are still required to show kavod to our parents after their death. So now the sources are going to go into more detail about exactly what you have to say when, because it seems to be that the primary kavod for the mace, the primary kavod for the person who has passed away, is through our speech and how we refer to them when we discuss aspects of them, things that they said, memories about them, and how we discuss them and how we bring their memory into this world. So the Shulchan Aruch brings it down lahalacha. You are obligated to honor your parent even after their death. Ketzad, how? When you hear something that you overheard from your parent, Omer kach amar Abba Mori, this is what my father, my teacher, said, Harini kaparat mishkavo, that I should be an atonement for his sins. Im hu haya toch shni masar chodesh, if this is within the first 12 months, v'im hu lachar shni masar chodesh, but if it's after the first 12 months, Omer zichrono levracha, then you should just say that his memory should be for a blessing. And the Rama continues and notes here, there is no distinction between a mother and a father in this situation. So there are two questions that we are addressing here. The first question is there any distinction between the father and the mother in this situation? And the answer is no. That the Rama clearly states, V'ein chiluk bein im la'av b'chol zeh. There is no difference between a father and a mother in this entire situation. So whether it is that you are talking about your father or whether it's that you're talking about your mother, there is no distinction. In both, you must give credit to them. You must, in essence, daven for their neshama in that moment. And you must indicate that their memory should be a blessing in this world for us. And then the second question that the Rama is coming to note is the question of, we mentioned that if you repeat something over that your parent said, that you have to verbally acknowledge your parent in that statement. But the question then arises, what about if you write something that was from your parents? Because we understand, why is that a question? first of all, is this something that has to be like officially written down, or it's just okay when you remember, you should acknowledge these words when you say something over from your parents? But also the question with writing is going to be, we saw that there was a distinction between what you mention before 12 months are up and after 12 months are up. But what if you write something within those 12 months, but writing is meant to last till much after those 12 months? So that's the next question of the Rama. V'yesh omrim, de'im kotev toch 12 chodesh. There are those that say that if you write within the first 12 months, umaskir aviv, and you mention your father, eino tzarich lechtov hareini kaparat mishkavo, you do not need to write that I should be a kapara for his sins. Ella zechrono levracha, rather you should immediately write zechrono levracha, that his memory should be for a blessing. De'hak tivato mitkayemet la'achar 12 chodesh, because when you're writing something now, it's going to last much past the 12 months. And we said the harini kaparat mishkavo is only going to be during the time when Hashem is executing judgment on this neshama. Once that period of judgment has passed, we no longer would be davening that we should be the kapara, because that would be irrelevant. So he's saying, because even though you're writing within the first 12 months, but your writing is going to last far beyond the first 12 months, you should write as if it was after the first 12 months to begin with, and just note, zichrono levracha. V'yesh ma'achmirim afilu biktiva v'cheino hingin. He said there are some people who are more machmir, and they do write, hareini kaparat mishkavo, and that is okay too. But the majority seems to be that if we put it in writing, we write zichrono levracha. And I think that we are much more used to seeing the word zichrono levracha than we are to seeing hareini kaparat mishkavo. According to the Meiri in source number 41, he adds, avala achar shimasar chodesh omer zichrono lechayeho olam haba v'keyotze bazeh. The Meiri is adding a slight detail that just sort of makes our lives easier, that the language seems very particular here, but the Meiri is expanding it, and he says, la'achar shemasar chodesh, after the first 12 months, you can say zichrono l'chayei ha'olam haba v'chayotzei bazeh. You can say anything similar to this. So zichrono levracha l'chayei ha'olam haba. The Ben Ish Chai adds in the next source, in source number 42, Chayav l'chabed et aviv achar moto, she'im hu b'toch shemasar chodesh l'ptirato, kishemaskir shem aviv yomar harini kaparat mishkavo. So the Ben Ish Chai is recapping, and he says, if you mention your parent within the first 12 months, you should mention harini kaparat mishkavo. V'la'achar shemasar chodesh, but after the first 12 months, yomar zichrono levracha, o alav hashalom. So the Ben Ish Chai is giving us another example that it doesn't need to be this exact language of zichrono levracha l'chayei olam haba or zichrono levracha. It can also be alav hashalom, which we are also very used to seeing. V'im kotiv b'michtav, and if you are writing in a letter, yesh omrim de'in tzarich lichtov harini kaparat mishkavo, many say that it is unnecessary to write the acknowledgement from within the first 12 months. V'yesh machmirim lichtov harini kaparat mishkavo. But there are some that are accustomed to writing it. V'chol din ze nohi gam be'imo. And all of these things directly apply also when it comes to a mother. So we see here that there's pretty much a consensus that what is kibud avim after a parent's death, aside from what we talked about last week, which is naming for the dead, which we say brings a tremendous chus to their neshama, we say that in this unit, what we are talking about, that showing kavu to the mace is acknowledging them when we mention their memory in this world. So we acknowledge that they are now in a different place, that in which they are now at a higher spiritual level. And therefore we say, zichrono levracha, their memory should be for a blessing to us, or alav shalom, that he should rest in peace. But we are acknowledging that they are still in existence, even though they don't exist together with us here. And therefore, we must continue to show them respect. There is, if anyone has like been looking through the book at all, there are certain places where we say there's like opportunities for further Ian. So if anyone is interested, this is a very fascinating one, further Ian, for a more extensive discussion regarding honoring deceased parents' requests over a living parent's wishes. So when it comes to a situation where you have one of your parents is still alive and unfortunately one of your parents has passed away, sort of like who trumps the other? That's going to be, I believe, the next unit we're going to get into. Next week or in 2 weeks? Yeah, it's next week. Which parent takes precedence? So there is a further eon, which is going to come to if there's one parent who is still alive and one parent who has passed away, who should you listen to first? So that's on page 89. Anyone who wants to look into it for further eon is welcome to do so. So although we've kind of been throwing this phrase around of harini kaparat av, mishkavo, that I should be a kapara for the sins that my father has committed. But the question can be asked, what does that mean? Like, we're going to receive punishment for something that my parent did? Like, do we really believe in that? And like, why would we dafka be mentioning that every single time that we mention something over from our fathers? So, in the Bitzel HaChachma, there is a quote from, this is the Sefer by Rav Bitzel Stern. He quotes the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein is trying to explain, what does this mean? So we're in source number 43. V'tama ha-shoel, v'hari kaimalan de mechavdo mishal av. We previously learned that the obligation to respect a parent monetarily comes from the parents' money themselves, that a child is not obligated to lose out financially in order to respect their parent. V'im ha-ben eno mechoyav l'chabira v'mamuno shal ha-ben. If a child is not obligated to serve his father with his money, how is it possible that he is meant to undergo physical punishment in order to respect his parents? So do we understand the question here? That we're saying if we weren't obligated to even spend our money to respect our parents, how can we then be obligated to sacrifice ourselves, that we're saying that we should be punished for anything our parents did? How did this make sense? V'lazaha aliti b'tshuvati. Kila'achar mitata'av. So the first suggestion that he suggests is that you can say that after a parent's death, when a parent no longer has of their own, then it would fall upon a child. That we said when a parent does not have their own money in order to carry out their own needs, we would say that in that situation, it would fall on a child. So even though this is slightly different, that it's not that they no longer have the appropriate funds, but rather that they have passed away, we would say that in fact, then the obligation would fall on the child. But that still makes it difficult to understand that that's in the financial realm. But how can we say that a child is required to sacrifice of themselves, to take upon themselves a punishment that they did not deserve and lose out physically? Who knows what the punishment would be? That perhaps they are going to be punished for the sins of their parents. V'ma'ala kavod torati shlita b'tchilat varav ha'ir. Kikvar amad b'kushyazo haga'un ha'adir ha'rav Moshe Feinstein. So he says, when I was pondering this question, I recognized that Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Gaon, has already answered this question. V'tirich d'be'emek she'omer harini kaparat mishkavo, lo me'ilim dvarav klum. Rav Moshe says that when one says harini kaparat mishkavo, they don't really mean it at all. V'lo ye'anash b'dvarav al ha'chata'im shel aviv. And the son will never be punished for the chata'im of their father. V'hu rak lashon shel kavod she'omer l'chavdo. But rather, this is simply a language of kavod. That's all it is. That it's not really that you have to be ready to actually accept the punishment, that Hashem knows where this punishment is supposed to go. Hashem knows that it's not just because you say, harini kaparat mishkavo, that I will take his punishment. Hashem, that does not mean that you actually intend that Hashem is going to send you the punishment. Rather, it is sort of a hyperbole that expresses the extent to which, even after their death, you are still honoring your parent. That you say, harini kaparat mishkavo, I would be willing to take upon myself all of the punishment for the sins that my parent committed. That if it was up to you, you would want to take away all of the pain and suffering that potentially can go to your parent. Shekatav al hada amar Rish Lakish harini kaparat Rabbi Chiya v'banav, that we are going to analyze this Gemara and Sukkah based on our understanding currently, that it says in the Gemara and Sukkah hada amar Rish Lakish, that Rish Lakish says harini kaparat Rabbi Chiya v'banav, I want to be an atonement, I want to be the kapara on behalf of Rabbi Chiya and his sons. V'pirish Rashi lashon kavu huza kishehu maskir aviv or rabo la'achar mitato tzarich lomar kach. That this is just a statement. This is what we say. This is our sign of kavod. That it's not actually that we are expecting that Hashem is going to detour the punishments to us, but rather it is our way of expressing our kavod. That many of the other manifestations of kavod, as we've pointed out, we're no longer able to do. We can't give them to eat. We can't give them to drink. We can't dress them. We can't do any of the things that we classically think of as kibud. So in that situation, we are going to say, we're going to mention this phrase every time that I mention my parent in order to indicate the amount of respect that I show to my parents. So lastly, for the final source, Rav Moshe Sternbach addresses the issue in his Tshuva B'Hanhagut. And as we have come upon in many of the different units, how do we explain the people that don't do this, right? I mean, I'm not going to make everyone raise their hands, but I personally have never heard anyone say, Harini Kaparat Mishkavo. I've heard Zichrono Levracha, I've heard Alav HaShalom, but I definitely have not found any like very particular distinctions of at 12 months they begin saying this, and it just seems like a nice thing to say, like, oh, you're going to mention someone who's passed away, Zichrono Levracha. You would do it for anyone who passed away. It doesn't have to be your parents. It doesn't have to be anyone related to you. It can just be anyone you know who has passed away. So Rav Moshe Sternbach in the final source, in source number 44, is going to try to explain what practically do we do? What is the practical state of this minhag today? And this halacha today. Sorry, not this minhag. Sorry, just to pause for a second. We have a question in the chat. Maybe it might not mean anything, just honor to take the suffering for your parents. But is there not an issue of bringing words into the world that should not be there? Like giving yourself an ayin hara. Okay, so this is a very interesting concept. I am definitely not well-versed in the world of ayin hara. That is a very complex area that I don't know very much about. But I do know that there is, we're not meant to be superstitious. That I do know. That is an isser in the Torah against superstitious behavior. But that doesn't, we do have a concept of ayin hara. So you don't want to be saying things like, you don't want to say like, oh God, please make something X, Y, and Z terrible happen to me. That we don't believe. We say, don't give a pitzpon pela satan. Like, don't open up the world for bad things to happen. But I think the idea here is that we are showing I have to think how to explain this. We're not saying, God, please punish us for our parents. We're saying, Harini Kapara, I would be willing to be put in the place of my parents. That a kapara is really that one person should receive the punishment on behalf of another person. So he's saying, Harini Kapara Mishkavo, that my parents is no longer here. I would be willing to be in their place. I don't think we're like opening it up and saying like, oh Hashem, like just waiting for the punishments you're going to throw me. But rather we're saying it in a very specific context in conjunction with quoting something from our parents only within the first 12 months in which we know that our parents is undergoing judgment. And it is at that time that we express our kavod by saying, Hashem, this is what I would be willing to do for my parent. That I think there is this like slight discomfort in saying like, oh Hashem, just punish me instead of them. And you're like, wait, but why would you want to say that to Hashem? Like, that seems like such a bad idea. First of all, Hashem is the one who commanded us in the halacha as well. So there's this overall understanding of what you intend here. So again, I'm not an expert in ayin hara, but I think that it is very clear once we understand the context that what we're trying to do here is show a certain level of kavod and a certain amount of self-sacrifice that we would be willing to have on behalf of the good, on a good judgment for our parents. Does that make sense? Like, I think it's sort of, it's saying that I would be willing to give a lot in order to, for my parent to rest in peace. That even though they are no longer in this world, I'm willing to sacrifice for their sake. So that's sort of what I'm thinking. But again, no expert in ayin hara. Okay, so let's look at source number 44. For practically, what is going on with this halacha today? We don't really see it practically happening. What are we meant to do? What are we not meant to do? Let's start there. Vera'iti b'tosfos rihazakin. I saw in Tosfos Hari, Shemifari Shachi Lomarkin, who rak b'shomea davar shmu'a me'aviv, dehainu davar halacha. So first he's giving us a narrowed set of circumstances in which we would say harini kaparat mishkavo, and that is specifically if we are quoting a dvar halacha from our parent, not just like any psalm thing. Like if you were going to say, oh, my father always said that you should wake up early, in that situation, you don't need to say Harini kaparat mishkavo. Rather, there you don't have to say anything. But if you were going to say my father taught that an X, Y, and Z halacha, you would then have to say Harini kaparat mishkavo. The Mefarish HaRav Yitzchak HaZakin Shekin Mevorah Gam B'Shitas HaRambam B'Perek Vav D'Mamrim Shekatav Haya Omer Davar Shmua Mipiv K'Lashon Chavrita In Ayin Sham V'Lavisa Nir'eh She'Achin In Geder Amirat HaKaparat Mishkavo Kabbalat Unche Hamit Al Chatei Hamit Ela She'im Yomar Davar Halacha B'Shem Aviv Halo Alulit Ot U'Bifrat K'She'inu Ela Davar Shmua Al kein tzarich lomar harini kaparat mishkavo. So Rosh Shermach is clarifying the situation here, saying, why does it matter specifically that we are talking about when you repeat over a dvar halacha? Because think about the exact words of the Gemara that they said, the dvar shmua, that when you hear over something that you are quoting in the name of your father. So a dvar shmua is like something that you were over, that you overheard, or something that was passed down. This is not like your father wrote down a halacha sefer and handed it to you, and you are then repeating over a halacha from your father. Rather, you're repeating over and you're saying, when I was a young woman, I was sitting at my father's Shabbos table, and I remember my father explaining to us that on Friday night, we stand for Kiddush, and on Shabbos day, we sit for Kiddush. The problem is, you overheard wrong or you remembered wrong because you were all of 5 years old and you said, I remember from my father that my father explained to us that on Friday night we sit for Kiddush and on Shabbos day we stand for Kiddush. Nobody does that, by the way. You then made a mistake in the name of your father, and it's a devar halacha. So it's something that could potentially can impact other people. Because now your children are going to repeat over to their children and they're going to say, my Zadie once taught my mother that you sit for Kiddush on Friday night and you stand for Kiddush on Shabbos day. And now not only have you repeated over something that was incorrect in your father's name, but now it is being passed down. It is leading many other people to make a mistake. So the idea of Shermach says is why do we have such specific criteria in which we say, Harini kaparat mishkavo, that when you are coming into that situation where you are telling over a halacha that is a davar shmua from your parent, you must be very wary of the effect that it might have. And therefore, at that moment that you mention this davar shmua of a halacha from your parent, you must also say harini kaparat mishkavo, that I am the one who is potentially causing a problem here. And therefore, I am saying that I am willing to take upon myself, the potential implications of what I'm saying. So it's not that you're, Rav Moshe said, it would be crazy to say that you are going to accept the punishment for your parent. That's definitely not happening. What you're saying here is, I am mentioning my parent and let me not be sinning in what I am doing. That let me be doing the correct thing in the name of my parents. And if not, let the fault lie on me and not on my parents, because it was not their fault, it was truly my fault. The reason that it is then only applicable within the first 12 months after death, because these are the days of judgment, and we know that during those first 12 months, it is a very intensive judgment. And therefore, we want to be very careful that your parents should not come under any extra scrutiny during these first 12 months. That during the first 12 months is the days of judgment. And therefore, if you are going to repeat over something that has the potential to cause a problem for the judgment of your parent, you must be very cognizant to say, I am taking responsibility. Harini kaparat mishkavo. Avala achar shekibel oncho. But after your parent has already received their judgment, Lo chayshin al lekach. We're not so worried about this. Ve'itzei shapir, and therefore it is okay. Ve'av shaharamah mivishagam ve'imo omer kein, and the Rama has specifically added that this applies in terms of our mother as well. Ve'lo shayach itzlad of our shmua dehalacha, and many people, Rav Shermach is saying, have not learned over a davar shmua in halacha from their mother. They obviously didn't do halicha. Mikol makom. Shayach gam itzla shemispar minhagim o shmuo tahab behanhigot v'ulai ina meduyakim. But from your mother, this is also a concept as well, that you may have learned the halacha from her. You may have learned a certain hanhaga from her. You may have learned a certain minhag from her. And repeating that over incorrectly would also cause problems. That if you repeat it over, that your mother said that we always do X, Y, and Z, even if it wasn't technically a halacha, but it was a minhag or a hanhaga, that also has the potential to cause problems, that you have the potential to make a mistake. And therefore, this would definitely be equally shayach to your mother as well as your father. Vilafiza, hanohagin lomar kol imat shemaskirim mimenu shel alshmo, harini kaparat mishkavo, kipashtut hapsukim iti shapir, aval gam liminat im, kishe eno davar shmua mipiv, yesh yisod, vilmrim rak zichrono levracha, shepitu meim mili lekabel alav onchen. So accordingly, those who always say the statement, may I be an atonement for his resting place when mentioning their father, like the simple understanding of the poskim, that they act in a proper manner. However, those who refrain, those who do not say Harini kaparat mishkavo, when it is not a davar shmua heard from him and they just state, may his memory be for a blessing, they have a basis for this as well. So we can say that the criteria is so specific in which we are meant to say Harini kaparat mishkavo, that everybody has what to rely upon. That if you simply say zichrono lebracha in all situations, that you are fulfilling the requirement to respect your parent because you are showing that level of respect. And you are just assuming that you do not fulfill the very specific criteria in which we have to mention Harini kaparat mishkavo. So to recap, there is the idea that we are not only meant to respect our parents in their life, but rather we are meant to respect our parents in their death as well. That in their life, the Gemara brought us a specific situation in which we are not talking about the technical kibud of feeding and drinking, but rather the idea that even in our lifetime, we talked about respecting through speech, that we are meant to tie things back to our parents. We are meant to give credit to our parents, that whenever we are in a situation, whether we can take credit for ourselves or give credit to our parents, we are meant to credit it to them. And this idea of kibud through speech, of showing respect through speech, the Gemara tells us carries over into our parents' death as well. That even when our parents have passed away, we are meant to attribute things to them. We are meant to call upon their neshama to bring bracha into this world. We are meant to show the same amount of respect through our speech and perhaps even more. The exact statement that you are meant to make and the exact criteria for in which you should say what is based upon the time frame which you are in, whether you are within the first 12 months when they are still undergoing their judgment, or whether you are outside of those first 12 months, that would decide whether you should say Harini kaparat mishkavo, or you should say Zechrono levracha, or Alav HaShalom. But the idea is that this Harini kaparat mishkavo is so, so specific, that if in all situations you say Zichrono Levracha or Alav HaShalom, you have also fulfilled your requirement. So slightly shorter shir today. I think anything was shorter than last week. But again, there is the further Ion if you want to look into when it comes to a living parent's will versus a deceased parent's will, like which takes precedence. That is a further Ion on page 89. We are not going to be, let me pause this.